There we go. Did you guys feel the magic come back as soon as we said action there?
Action.
I think the magic is back. It's episode 78 of Three Brothers Talking. Let's call it the third season of Three Brothers Talking. In that we took a break off for the holiday season and then a little bit extra because life is busy. And you know, we're hardworking podcast men. We're hardworking radio professionals who need a break every now and then. So
yes.
that's what we did. We are back in the virtual studio tonight and recording episode 78. And oh, by the way, I'm David.
I'm Andrew.
I am Jeremy.
And in case you don't know what Three Brothers Talking is, I thought this would be a good time, as we have just so many, you know, just billions of listeners at this point and a worldwide influence. I thought this would be a good time to remind people what the podcast is. So, Jeremy, if somebody asked you what your podcast is, what would you tell them?
It is Three Brothers Talking about stuff.
Put them on the spot.
I did put him on the spot.
You put me right on that spot.
So Three Brothers Talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Three Brothers Talking about stuff. That's a
lots
good starting definition.
You know.
Yeah.
Andrew, what would you say?
I mean, I think we basically use this. I mean, this is an opportunity for us to catch up in a fun format a lot of the time. And then we share what's going on in our lives and kind of just our takes on some things, but pretty fun and informal and good way for us to stay connected, basically. And it's like, you know, we might as well record it, because if somebody gets something out of it, then so be it.
Yeah, I think the reality is that we're all old men now. Over the course of the podcast, I think when we started, you guys already had kids when we started?
Maybe we started it when we both had one, I think, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah, now we got two and almost three, and not us, you
and
have almost three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's been public knowledge yet.
Edit that out, David.
Yeah. We'll edit it out.
It's public now, but
I didn't think about it.
But I do. Oh. Yeah, I was like, I do have a third on the way, so
yeah. No, re-editing
we can
that.
totally take this out if you want to.
No, that's
I can.
Fine.
We can. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I have to leave it all.
There
in.
We go.
Yeah. I think it all needs to stay in now. Either it's all gone
or not. It's already out.
It's already out. Yeah, so another baby on the way. But I became a dad over the course of the podcast, and so we're all like definitely old men now. And so we catch up and we talk about life, which is what old men do. Mm-hmm. And what'd you say, Jeremy?
I grew a beard, so you know.
You grew a beard over the course of the podcast, which is of course a milestone, just like having kids. But we get together and we talk about life, we talk about the Bible, talk about parenting, marriage, the things that everybody talks about, and try to be encouraging to people as we do it. But speaking of life updates, I didn't have this on the list of the new baby, but there is a new baby, a new podcast baby coming.
Yep.
And so that's exciting. Yep. Another baby. Andrew takes the lead on the leaderboard.
Yeah, I was like, it is a, I don't know if you guys want to get into this, but it was a, we are having another boy here in July.
Well, it's not up to us if we want to get into it, Andrew. It's kind of up to you if you want to get into it.
I mean, it's a funny story in that we were not planning on finding out the gender, but for the sake of our ultrasound appointment, where a frazzled lab technician just kind of let it slip on us.
And you said she led with it, right?
Yeah, like literally she's reading over Kaylee's chart as we're like getting going, and just kind of slipped that she was like basically like, oh, we'll get you some pictures of baby boy today. And we're like, the whole room just kind of stopped.
How many people were in the room? Point, like, give a crowd?
It was just me, Kaylee, and the lady.
The audience was just taken aback.
But me and Kaylee do a double take and look at each other, and she stops quickly and she's like, oh, did they not tell you? And we're like, well, we were gonna be surprised. And she felt awful.
I love that she asked you the question, like, oh, they didn't tell you.
Like, they forgot. Well,
she dropped the boy, and then like it just went silent for a second. Like she cut off mid-sentence almost.
Oh,
and then
man.
Like it's just like everybody in the room just looks at each other. But then, you know, we weren't upset because we told her it's probably a good thing that this happened. You know, like she said, she'd never done this before, for parents that don't want to be surprised. And we're like, well, it's a good thing that you did it with us. And this is our third child, and yeah, it is okay.
Yeah, third one, you know.
You know, so we are having a boy, and we're excited. So it was a fun way to, yeah.
Jeremy, you guys found out both times, right?
Yeah, we found out both times.
Yeah, you guys.
Planners. We might not the next time, whenever that happens.
Oh,
we've talked about that. Okay. No, we already have. Ooh. Well, there's no announcement.
Rachel and I Rachel and I jumped into the deep end. We're just you know. Who knows? We'll just go right in and...
We already got one and one. We can figure it out. We already have the stuff for either, so it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus it's like twins. Yeah,
I
mean,
I will say one thing. Like, Haddon is 8 months old now. He's like 8 or 9 months, and we were looking at some old pictures of him today, and still how tiny he was when he was born, just 8 months. You don't think about it every day, but... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, and he was a little bit on the skinny small side when he was born.
Yeah,
but it's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah,
time moves fast even in 8 months.
Time flies.
Other life updates that were actually on the list here is that Andrew has they've had all kinds of stuff in the Andrew household.
Yeah,
and including that Andrew moved during Christmas essentially. Like while COVID was just insane, including in their household and in our whole family too.
That I had it, yeah.
But you guys moved.
I can't believe you had me help.
Yeah, well, yep. He had no choice.
You had it too.
Oh yeah.
You had it. Yeah,
I got it so I can help you move. That was the way it worked.
Yeah, so you moved at maybe the worst time. In mm-hmm. human history, Andrew, because you were around the holidays. It was the week after Christmas, right?
Yep.
And you were in quarantine.
Yep.
And then that same next weekend, you were about to go out of town. Yeah. And you said, in the middle of all that, this is when I would like to move. This is the best time.
Yeah. I mean, hindsight's...
You survived it, though.
Hindsight's 2020. It was a... It was a very ambitious endeavor, I would say, and it will not, you know, it worked out because we were only moving locally from like one house to like 10 minutes up the road, still in the same city. But yeah, because of the big caveat was like, we could not have the help really that we were counting on because of the COVID that hit our family just ahead of Christmas.
Everyone in the whole family had it, except for me and Rachel, ironically, which was the reverse of the year before. But then thankfully, whenever you got out of your quarantine, thankfully there was still work to help with, but man.
And then I was like, it was good because I was like, it would have worked out really well, in my thinking when like, if we were all healthy, we already had plans for the kids, for both kids to be gone, because anybody who's moved with little ones know that it's nearly impossible to get anything done when you're occupied by two toddlers. So that's why they were already going to Kaylee's parents' house. So we have them out of the way. Me and Kaylee would be able to pack. She was already off of work for that week because she's in school. So they're already off break. So that's like, in my head, I had all this kind of logistic wise planned out, and then it just kind of all
didn't work out.
Jumbled together but yeah, like we got everything worked out. We're in the new house now. Kaylee says new studio for me, and Kaylee says we're never moving again, so
doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt that's the case.
Yeah,
it could happen.
But Jeremy got a new animal, which I think we're seeing on the chat right now.
You're currently seeing the chat in the chat. We got another kitten.
It's a cat.
There you go. Jeez.
What?
Another kitten. Jeremy's on to cat number three.
Yes. So yeah. She's trying to get her worked out with the other pets. So she's not really a fan of the other cats. Dogs are fine. Other
So the cats outnumber the dogs at this point, except for the dogs that you watch on occasion. Yeah.
So how many animals do you have now?
3 cats and 2 dogs. And a horse.
And a horse. Thankfully, the horse does not stay in the house like the rest of the animals.
Nope, that the horse would be, is on the
That'd be bad. Yes. I mean, give it some time.
It'd be a lot of space. You know, give it some time.
Well, you know. You know, in a few months, maybe you'll have to move the horse in too. You know, never know.
Maybe. And live in the backyard, right? I'm sure Pickerington zoning would not have any issues with that.
Yeah, your city is going to be totally fine with it. But looks like you've bonded with the cat, so that's good. And
we're getting there.
Little by little,
she's a good cat. He just doesn't work well with the other cats right now.
It's really funny because if you knew Jeremy before all this, I never would think that he would own any cats, let alone 3 of them. Here he is with 3 cats and no signs of letting up. And
no, there's signs of letting up, but we have made the decision we're not fostering any more pets.
Yeah, because you guys got this one through fostering it for a little bit.
Yeah, then, we were the barn cats.
As this cat is clawing at Jeremy's chest.
Yeah, the barn cats got spayed and neutered, so we were the ones who watched them while they were getting, you know, healing. And 3 of the cats went back, and the last one decided we let stay with us. So,
I tell you what, this is really fun to watch Jeremy interact with the cat while he's trying to record, but the sound of this portion of the program is probably going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So,
no, it's going to be great. I don't know. If you hear,
if on the recording you hear claw scratches, then that's what it was. It was a cat named Boo attacking Jeremy as he recorded.
But I mean, we're being adaptable. That kind of thing. Jeremy's Faith is out of the house tonight. Jeremy's taking care of the animals, taking care of the kiddos. He's multifaceted here.
2 kids and 5 animals, all depending on one man.
So, I mean, one is bound to be clinging to his leg and stuff.
Yeah, at least she's not clawing at my leg. She's good. She's a kid.
At least your kids aren't either. So.
Yeah, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I guess the other thing to talk about is like COVID stuff, because one thing that I think about, we had real, I think like a lot of people, we had a delayed COVID impacted Christmas, like probably most people in the world.
Yeah.
And now granted, it seems
like so long ago,
it seems like forever ago. But the reality is, I mean, some people might have just celebrated Christmas at this point.
It's true.
They might have been way laid out. So,
no, literally before recording this, we opened the presents with Kaylee's siblings on FaceTime.
No way.
Yeah.
You opened them now?
No, like literally tonight. Yeah.
Wow.
How did?
Well, Merry Christmas, Andrew.
Yeah. So literally, I was like, I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but... I have had, so like we did Secret Santa with all of Kaylee's siblings. We have had our presents in our closet. They came with us in the move and all that. We've had them sitting until the chance for all of us to get on video chat together. So we still celebrated Christmas.
I tell you what, that's a lot of self-control.
Yeah.
If I had to move the presents
for babies, because that'd be like, that's one thing we'd worry about. Like we bought stuff for like Haddon or whatever. It's like, oh no, if we don't see him for like a month,
kid grows fast. He might be in trouble.
Because
I have a long son. I have a long son. He's got big feet.
He's got long
6'3".
Yeah.
He's going to be a basketball player.
I keep on saying his mother was a cross country runner. And I keep on saying he might be
was a baseball star.
I was a baseball star.
Dave, you just need to get him going on that Olympian trail.
I need to get him going on running hurdles, I think. If he's got the length of his like mom's legs and the running prowess, like let's get that guy on some hurdles.
You just start now, like when he's starting to crawl and all that, just put stuff in his way. And then he naturally learns
that
you got to go over. You got to go over objects, and then you just keep, you know, making them greater and greater.
And that's taller.
That's a valuable life lesson. That all
it's a
of
life lesson. Yeah.
All of life is hurdles, yeah. And you have to climb over them.
Life is hurdles,
just like COVID.
Hey, COVID. What is COVID if not one large hurdle,
one
on
giant
the track
hurdle
of life?
Yeah, that's right. I was trying to get you back to trying to get you back to what you were talking about.
I don't know what it was like. That's crazy to me that you guys just opened the presents. Because honestly, at this point, COVID wasn't the thing holding you back.
Yeah,
no.
This feels like a communication problem that we had and a failure to plan.
Yep.
And but hey,
seeing as how we did it over FaceTime, so
yeah. And in the end, you weren't even in the same room. So, but here you are, February 22nd. Christmas
it's
is finally
almost
2 months
to the day, man. You almost made it 2 months.
Yep.
At this point, you're almost just saving for next year. Just, hey, we don't need to swap names. We don't need to swap names next year. Nobody needs to buy anything. Just use them again.
No one get taller or gain or lose weight.
I don't know. Yeah. I guess so.
I mean, if it, some things might have had a shelf life, but, you know, probably most presents would have been fine.
Yeah, that's true.
And here's the other question I want to ask is, granted, like, I don't want to get into misinformation territory.
Whoa.
Okay, so
big news.
Whoa. But do you think,
individually,
do you think that we're actually like at the end of COVID, the pandemic? What do you guys think? Because we have all made wrong predictions in the past about like, we'll be back to normal at this point. We'll be back to normal at this point. But here we are, and it feels like we might actually be going back to normal.
I think, I was like, I guess I can cheer first. I think we have been for the last, I would say, couple weeks, it has transitioned to be more endemic versus pandemic.
This guy, big words.
And that it was like, I think just you've seen policy wise and what they're tracking as far as, you know, trajectories and all that. Like, so from a public narrative perspective, things are starting to shift. And
seems like we're getting,
Yeah. Like, I mean, you see, I mean, not that like it's gone anywhere or anything, but it's
no,
like the fact that, you know, society is largely operating
normal.
You know, mostly back to normal for most of America at this point. And that's why, like, you know, things
in the
are,
world,
you know, mandates are starting to drop. I know, you know, like I've seen all across the board for our lives, like different things have dropped over the last couple of weeks. And
It's surprising me. I was so close to the prediction where I had told Rachel before Christmas, right before Christmas, that I think by March, I think in March we'll pretty much be back to normal. And that was based on the fact that I had had some news sources that I followed talking about Omicron and stuff before it became big. And they were just like, hey, this is going to get here and it's going to move fast. And then afterwards, we'll probably be back to normal. So I said that, and then it kind of came true faster than I anticipated as far as Christmas Eve just like obliterating our family and most everyone I know.
Yeah, it's like a whole bunch of people got it.
And I do think like it does seem like we're on that path, but it still surprises me the rapidity of how in some ways the rapidity of going back to normal is surprising to me. And also, obviously, we're not saying any of this as like scientists or doctors, obviously, because none of us are those things.
Yeah.
I'm asking this question as like from an observational perspective as a citizen. It's like, I think this is the last winter that we might really talk about it. I don't know. It's weird.
I think we can all hope.
I think there's a lot.
I think everyone in the world almost. Everyone in the world, except for really twisted people, I think, would like to be back to normal. I think. Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
And it's, and I think one thing that actually, like, just to be frank, like, to transition unintentionally to something a little earnest, like, the just not that long ago, I was at a funeral for someone who did die from complications that started very much because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was a long battle for them that, started and then like, and it made me a little sad. Thankfully they're with the Lord. They are as happy as can be. But it made me a little sad going to the funeral just, based on the fact that, and that wasn't the only one, unfortunately, it's not the only one I've attended in the last 2 years with similar stories, but going there and just knowing that, so many parts of the funeral, so many parts of like the people gathering to mourn and to also rejoice at the same time, like that would like just be charged with the politicization yeah. of, well, how are you doing it? Yeah. Are you gonna make people wear masks at this funeral? Are yeah. you gonna like just things like that? That I don't want people to have to deal with those questions when they're dealing with a funeral. You know, yeah. I want people to just be able to mourn, and on both sides, it seems like there just is the ability to lose track of the fact that there are still like individuals who have lives that matter that have mm-hmm. ended in the last 2 years. And they would probably still be alive if they hadn't caught it. And, you know, we're not God, we're not sovereign, and we can't know all the, you know, there's no such thing as like a if in the world because everything is planned by him. But I guess walking into the funeral, I just was kind of hit with like, man, I wish that these people that are mourning didn't have to mourn in a context that is like distracted by other things.
Yeah.
Because they lost someone that they love, and mm-hmm.
And there's enough to navigate in that circumstance without the complications of the politicizations or the other additional measures you may or may not want to or have to take throughout it. There's enough to mourn and be sad about while also trying to rejoice. And especially if you're there, a believer, trying to at the same time just rejoice in the good news of them being with their Savior.
Well, and I'm trying to be sensitive to the fact that like, if you're in that position, because I've seen it happen. I've been in the conversations where like someone says something about like, my relative got COVID and they're not doing great. Or my relative mm-hmm. is like, and like, the people talking with that person cease being compassionate and start asking like questions that are like political and scientific. And it's like, dude, like, like it's not the time to
can
ask
them. Can we
say them.
Someone's sick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like and it's not the time to ask them about what they think about lockdowns.
What was their stance on this? Yeah.
Cause it doesn't matter. Like, and I've seen some people that were very vocally against masks or lockdowns or whatever, and they got it and it was really serious for them. And I've seen people that are on the opposite end of the spectrum seemingly kind of gloat over the mm-hmm. fact that not even just fellow human beings but fellow Christians like sort of got what was coming to them by not taking it seriously. And I've seen it in the other way where it's easy to maybe if you're a person that doesn't take it serious, that's a loaded way to say it, but like if you're somebody that isn't afraid of it, whatever, you're not a lockdown person, and then your very pro lockdown friend gets it, even though they're triple vaxxed and being careful, it's easy then to like sort of gloat, like, see, you tried
gotcha. Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, this is the problem with the tribalization of public policy. Yeah. Like everything today is tribalized, and everything today, especially like I think we've hit on before, but like when you talk about from a social media perspective, when you get into these, like when you get into how addicting social media is, and we put ourselves in echo chambers that we only hear the perspective that we agree with and that we are continuing to engage with, then it just becomes, we become further and further entranced. And as we said, like none of us thought that this pandemic was going to last. You know, like none of us thought that we'd be 2 years plus into this thing.
We were wrong.
But that entire timeline has only created people that have become further and further entrenched.
Yeah.
In their tribalization, from their perspective on this thing, instead of, you know, seeing this thing for individual peoples that are dealing with things in different ways. It's been really sad to see that aspect for sure. And I hope that, you know, we don't see, hopefully this is going away. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And like the severity is getting less and less as it continues to kind of transmit through people and all that. And hopefully this type of thing doesn't, you know, there's nothing that presents itself again in this way, in the near future.
Well, one thing I was thinking of is how life should normally moderate us a little bit. And I know, Jeremy, you're going to take us somewhere. So like, give me a second here. This just came into my brain. Life should normally moderate us, but not in a sense that like we go through hard times and suffering. And so we just kind of meld to the political middle, where we no longer have convictions and we no longer, the goal is not to be more mature, is not necessarily to be more middle of the road in terms of being between Democrats and Republicans equally. But to be mature should build, like, you should be more moderate in terms of like, you should be a whole lot mentally, spiritually stronger, but you should also be more moderate in how you use that strength and flex that strength. And, you should be stronger, sort of. I mean, we talk about meekness sometimes in the church about being strength, but strength like guarded and guided by wisdom. And that's what I wish that the last 2 years did build in the church, was that like we did get clearer about convictions. So we were stronger in those convictions, but we are also really even more wise about doing them. Because that's the antidote to the tribalism is... Yeah. To get rid of our idols and to get rid of our self-centeredness and to know really and truthfully what the Bible says and be holden to that only. So I don't know. That's just what I was thinking about. Jeremy, where were you going to take us there? Well,
so one of the things that came to my mind where we were going on this and to kind of transition a little bit, I was listening to another podcast that we listened to. It's called the Sounds of Sanity podcast.
Pretty good.
And, yeah, it's a good one from More Horror Media, not a sponsor yet.
not a sponsor, maybe a partner one day. That'd be fun.
That'd be great. No, I would love that cast. But no, they're talking about how, like, I guess we were talking about we focus on different things. And they had an episode on what are you focusing on? And they were discussing out of Philippians 4.
Oh, yeah.
4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellence or praise, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. I guess one of the things, especially with me, I guess this, I've been thinking more and more how I don't do this. How, especially when our echo chambers, we don't do this very well. Like you were saying, at a funeral, are we focusing on, first off, the individual and the family who need our love and compassion? And then are we focusing on the praiseworthy part of saying, well, they're with the Lord, and that is a just, honorable, true thing to be a part of, over the politicization of everything else? Like, what are we focusing on the day-to-day? So I don't know. I was kind of thinking about that while we were discussing it in my head.
Yeah, I was like, and that's a challenge that we all have to live with, because we are inundated with the politicization of.
By the way, none of us can say that word, apparently.
Yeah.
It's hard. Politicization.
I mean, it's all you're going to see over these last 2+ years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's tough. But
it's a long running track. It's been at least 10 to 12 years. It's been going that way
for a long time. I guess as a believer, and I know I've not been good at this. And my wife has thankfully showed me that lovingly. And hopefully I see that better going forward. But how, like, am I focusing on something like things that the president may or may not do? Am I trying to look on the good things, or am I only trying to find the nitpicky? Or is this just depressing? And if my wife is listening, then she knows that I'm listening. I might be hard-headed, but I'm slowly getting there. I guess, what are we trying to focus on a day-to-day basis?
That was Christians nice that you said. You said you might be hard-headed.
Oh, I am. I'll just say
there you
it.
Go.
I am hard-headed and stubborn, but hopefully the Lord is changing me quicker, sanctifying me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm with you on that. Not just about you. I'm talking about for me.
David called me hard-headed on the podcast.
Although I do hope he's doing it for you too. That's one of the things. It's easy to feel like, oh, I'm just trying to be informed, and I'm just trying to be up to date, and Christian, you know, and the right response of,
or trying to inform someone else.
Exactly. Like, I need to pay attention because one of the problems is that Christians haven't paid attention to culture and politics, and that's how we got here. And in some ways, that is a totally true statement. But that could also be a very, I think that could be a self-deceived way of, like,
Self-deceiving
way
of the issue.
You're really just obsessed with it. Honestly, you're really just obsessed with it, and you're kind of dug into outrage culture. And, like, the thing that humans don't like to admit is that we kind of like getting that outrage hit. Being mad about things, and so we should.
That's what keeps us coming back a lot of times.
Exactly.
We need to be aware of that. If you read anything on, like, how things are made now, they keep giving you what you ultimately want. That's the way all of our systems are made. So if that's all you're looking for, and that's all you're trying to interact with, that's what you're going to keep getting, which then puts you further and further down the rabbit hole. Whereas if you're trying to remind yourself about commendable, pure things from the word and from truth with actual believers,
you'll probably just close the app if you're trying to do it. And I also think, like, what are the two ways that they really can get their hooks in you, if we're honest? Sex and anger. That's how they can reel you in. They can get you to keep looking at the screen and to stay glued to the app with pornography and with things that make you mad and interact out of your anger. That is a stronger motivator. Both of those things are stronger motivators for humans, especially dudes, than I think probably most other things. Like, you need to be aware of that.
Are aware of our own tendencies of how we are presupposed using. So some of us more than others.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's easy to, like, going back to what I was saying earlier, like, it's easy to have a mental diet and intake of news and things that feel like you're being informed and taught or something. But really, if you really step back and look at it, it's a negative influence that is not leading you to Christ. It's giving you, it's at least making you slightly irritated. And it's eating you up. Like, how much media do we consume that sort of, maybe this is just me, maybe this is just a David problem, and it might be, because I like to be up to date, I like to figure out problems, I like to analyze problems in culture or whatever, so maybe this is just a me thing, but how easy is it for us to just take in stuff that teaches us, but really it just makes us, like, feel eaten up inside, constantly obsessing and fretting about things, and, like, to where it's like, oh, I have to talk to somebody about this, whether it's my wife or it's a friend. Like, I have to bring this up because it's just so bad, or it's so, and none of us would say you need to ignore culture or politics, because we all agree that the church for decades maybe centuries, or at least half a century, I would say, has stepped away from a beneficial and meaningful interaction in politics from the Bible. So we need that. And the church needs to go to the I mean, Jeremy and I talked about that book, Heaven Misplaced, and I don't know how many times over the course of the book club that exact topic came up of like, no, the church should assume the authority to speak about things.
Well, through the Bible, the church knows the truth.
Exactly. So we do need to do that, but you can do that without being obliterated by the black hole of outrage and all that horrible stuff for your soul.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what we totally planned on talking about tonight.
We totally planned on that. We had a plan, guys.
Yep.
Make a plan, well, hope the plan will fail, make a new plan, whatever it is.
That's what we did. That I think that describes the last few years for most everybody.
You know, we do our best.
That's right. We're figuring our way through it. And I do mean this, like, maybe I'll throw out a disclaimer as we end the episode. We didn't really plan on being earnest at all in this. So before we get to the question that Jeremy wants to ask, I think he's got one. But before we get to that, we didn't really plan on talking about anything that was that earnest. So if anything said in here was half-baked in terms of a thought or perhaps a little incomplete or probably insensitive or something, it's probably because we were shooting from the hip on topics we weren't really planning on getting into. So there you go. Yep. It's a little disclaimer.
Good disclaimer.
Thank you. What's your question?
I'm not a financial advisor. Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. yeah.
No, I just was curious what you guys are reading right now. That's all. You guys read anything good?
Mm. I am, Andrew, I'll go first just because I unfortunately have a big list to this question.
Oh, never mind. I don't want big lists.
Well, I've learned that I need to be more disciplined and like just read one thing at a time, especially if it's something you want to really learn and comprehend. So I just read It's Good to Be a Man by Michael Foster and Non Tennant. And I'm still thinking about how much I liked it and how much I loved it versus, you know, I'm actually thinking about doing a little book review for the podcast. So I'm going to think about it more there and hopefully put something out that'll give my more complete thoughts, because I think it's kind of a complicated book, so it deserves, you know, more thinking about it. And I read a book called Shaping Hearts and Minds, which is about classical education. I reread that for just some discussions that we're having. Me and the other pastors were just talking about at the church, and so it was like, oh, I want to read that book again. And I'm reading The Hobbit. And it's awesome.
There you go.
If you never read The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings, goodness. I mean,
do it.
So we as Christians talk about C.S. Lewis and we talk about J.R. Tolkien all the time. They're like our go-to celebrities in the fiction realm. But when you actually go back and read their books, you're like, man, they were actually really good. Like,
have you read all the Lord of the Rings books?
I've not. I've only read The Hobbit before in my life. So this is second time through The Hobbit, and then it'll be the first time through the Lord of the Rings Fellowship and all that stuff. So
good work.
That's what I'm going through. Yeah. Trying to read more fiction this year. Not off to a great start, but here we are.
Well, it's only February, so you're still fine.
That's right. I'll blame it on COVID.
I'm finishing up. So I'm about three quarters through of Man of the House by C.R. Wiley.
No. Friend of the pod. So he's a know-it.
And then, other than that, I've been rereading. So just Bible-wise, been rereading through Galatians.
Okay.
That's where I've been when sitting currently. Cool. Nothing, you know, not some crazy study or anything, but rereading there.
Yeah. Cool. I'm in the Old Testament right now. I'm in Leviticus. Nice. I'm in the heart of Leviticus.
Are you doing a chronological plan or something?
I am not this year. I'm just going through the Old Testament this year.
Gotcha. I just finished Notes from the Tilt-A-Whirl. I'm currently reading a power. It's a, I don't remember the title of it, but it's like Power and Folly. It's a preaching book. It's pretty good. It's I know the foreword is written by Brian Chappell, who's written another book about preaching, pointing to Christ or something like that, which is on my bookshelf, which is next. The next one on my list is going through a book with a few guys, and I really want to read the Planet Narnia, actually, but I've tried to start it and just kind of not. So the Chronicles of Narnia, I reread all of them last year, or great, the first half of them. I started reading them through in order, but those books, I know C.S. Lewis has always said, like, if a book is only for children, then it's not a good book. And it's very true. Like, you obviously glean more out of it when you're an adult, but it's still a great story. So I read those last year, and I'll probably reread those again, especially with Micah getting older. I'll probably start trying to read them with him.
I would say if you're a believer, I think anybody should read it because I think it's just good stories. But if you're a believer, like, you really should read Narnia. And I think that it gets, in a lot of ways, it gets better as it goes on.
I think it ages well.
I kind of think, just me personally, like, I actually like kind of the second half of it maybe more than like The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, honestly. I would say, and maybe you're not a big reader, like, totally get the audiobooks. There's got to be audiobooks somewhere, and listen to them.
Yeah.
Because I loved The Last Battle. I thought The Last Battle was
maybe
fantastic.
Maybe we could do an audiobook. We could all do an audiobook.
There you go. I think you have to like buy a lot of rights to do that.
I don't do that. So, never mind.
Yeah, I don't think we can afford that.
We can't just read a book out loud. That's just not the way that works.
Yeah, I mean, we could maybe, but I don't think it'd last long. But what, Jeremy, which one's your favorite book, really fast?
Oh, man. I got to think about them all. Honestly,
I said really fast.
The Horse and His Boy was definitely, Horse and His Boy I really enjoyed, just because it's a little bit different. I like The Voyage of the Dawn Treader a lot.
Really?
And just because, like, I guess everything going on, it's not really centered around everything else. This is kind of different. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to read Planet Narnia, because the way it kind of supposed to tie everything together differently. So
interesting.
And I want to read The Discarded Image, because I've heard that also helps a lot of how he wrote and stuff. It's like a thesis on how literature is written in medieval times and how those are kind of based.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I would have to say The Horse and His Boy, or I like Prince Caspian a lot too.
Caspian. It's just so different. It's a lot more, well, like from the first book to the second book, and all the books, they're kind of disjointed, but somewhat connected, which is interesting.
Yeah. Anyway,
which is why I want to read the other books.
Anyway, I was just curious. I'm not surprised that The Horse and His Boy is up on the list for both of us. I think that my wife said that's probably her favorite too.
It kind of felt more like Lord of the Rings, more of an epic quest than the other ones did.
Yeah.
Like, the other ones had a more obvious allegory in it. This one just like was a little more just a fun story.
I wanted to name Haddon for a little bit after
Shasta.
Well, not Shasta, but after another character from the book, and that was a no go. But
which one that? But which one?
I like the name Corin, which is Shasta.
Oh, Faith likes Cora or Corin.
Yeah, I think that's Shasta's brother's name, or maybe that's Shasta's real name.
Maybe if we get another cat, I'll name it Shasta.
But I want to. Well, the real bummer, we can maybe close with this, but the real bummer is that the last king of Narnia, the last true king of Narnia, is named Tyrion. That's a king in The Last Battle. And part of me would really like to have named my son Tyrion, except Game of Thrones happens. I name my son Tyrion, everyone in the world is going to think that I did it because of Game of Thrones.
That's not true, David. Yeah. Everyone, I would not have thought of that, or your family.
Oh,
So now I do.
Well,
but
Andrew
I would not
have.
Have thought of that till now.
I mean, yeah, it was like quite a lot of people would have went there. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a bummer, because that's just, and the name's honestly not even that great, but just like the fact that it was the last king of Narnia was cool.
Well, so. I'm glad you went with Haddon, but now we can't use it. So, you know.
Yep, we took it. We claimed that one.
I guess
that's
you won
the thing
that one.
About, This thing about having a lot of siblings and all the siblings having a lot of kids is like we kind of steal names from each other.
We should have drawn names and said, okay, you get these names.
Yeah, I was like, we all have a list that like we kind of like and we should have drafted
them earlier on in life.
We were trying to pick names the other day just for like future and like it did not. I liked Barnabas and Faith said Faith vetoed that one. Like it means son of encouragement. She goes, they'll call him Barney.
It also means Barney. So. Exactly.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barney's bad. Nobody you wants know. To be Barney.
Nobody.
Yeah. Well, here we are back in the studio. And I think that we did a podcast, guys.
I think we did.
Yeah.
I think we did all right.
We did what we came to do.
Well,
actually,
really,
we didn't.
Yeah.
Actually, we did about half. We got like through about half of the rubric.
We had a list of stuff that we didn't talk about.
Well, we talked about the babies. We talked about the cat. We talked about.
Yeah. We talked about things and then we stumbled onto actual content and
cookie crumbles.
This is probably
more to come.
To come. And we're back in the swing of things a little bit recording wise and life wise. And so more on the way. But for now, this has been an episode.
We still don't have a good
talking.
Sign off yet. We still need to figure out how to sign something off. It's been 3 years, David. Sign us up professionally.
Why am I the one that needs to come
up
with
the sign off? You don't want me to do it? This is Three Brothers Talking, signing off.
Isn't it?
See,
isn't
that sounds
until
terrible.
Until next time, we'll see you guys next time.
That's kind of what it's become. To? Yeah, until
that's kind of the way it is.
I think there's something clever about that. So
that's fine. I'm good with it.
All right. Let's do that then.
All right, David, send us out.
We conduct a little behind the scenes.
It's a business meeting.
On the air.
It's a business meeting.
Like,
they get to see behind
like
the curtain.
It's like a writer's room meeting happening.
They are
live.
Taking this is a peek behind the curtain.
The people love
happens.
It. The people love
the
this.
People,
kind of
they're
content.
Still listening at this point, I'm guessing. So, you know.
I doubt that very much.
They're on the edge of their seat, David. They need to send us out really well.
Give the people what they want, you know?
They're begging for it.
All right. Well, then, until next time, we'll see you next time.